How to Be Happy Podcast, episode number 10, JaredAkers.com. Welcome to the How to Be Happy Podcast with Jared and Emily Akers, where we talk about life, love, happiness, respect for yourself and your partners in life. So open your hearts and your minds and get ready to be honest, be loved, and be happy.
Hey, Jared and Emily, this is Sean. I just wanted to call and thank you for your great podcast. And keep up the great work. And there's all kinds of great information you guys are giving everybody. And I really, really like your podcast. So thank you very much for what you do. Thanks.
All right. Welcome, everybody, to the How to Be Happy Podcast with Jared and Lakers. This is episode 10. And thank you. That was Sean for calling in and leaving a comment on our...
It's always nice to get good feedback. That's very cool. Thank you, Sean.
Yeah.
Wherever you are. We think you're in St. Louis, but we're not sure.
Do we?
I thought so.
Yeah, I'm not sure why. Anyway, the internet, I guess. Anyway, so yeah, thank you. That was awesome. And
thanks, Sean.
He on our website at JaredAkers.com, you can click on, there's a tab there on the right-hand side where you can click on leave a question or feedback, and we'll use it on the air, and we appreciate it. Anyway, so today's episode, this is, like I said, episode 10. Today's episode is going to be You Are Not Your Relationships. And the reason why kind of this came about. And first off, well, someone called in, a gentleman called in and left a message on our hotline. And I kind of feel bad because when he left it, we had already recorded an episode and then my computer died.
Yeah. Jared insists on Windows.
Completely died. And so I had to completely reinstall everything on the computer last week. Bad. And then we had already had that one episode recorded. And so we published that one, and but this guy called in, and he's in a relationship, and we'll let the.
I think you should just play it.
Well, but let me. Okay, we'll play that first, and then. And then we'll talk about
it. You all hear what it's all about, and we'll discuss it.
Here we go.
Hello, I'm having very high anxiety right now due to a breakup. I have been asked to vacate the premises, and I'm bleeding inside terribly, and I don't mean that, you know, physically or literally. I have such high anxiety right at this moment. I don't know what to do, where to turn, I don't know what to do. I can't sleep. I can't eat. I can't function. I'm just not functioning. And I know what I need to do. I just don't know how to do it. I don't know what to do. Please help.
And so that was the message. And I felt so bad because he didn't leave his email address and I had no way to contact him. And then my heart just went out to him.
Yeah, mine too.
It's
given us a lot of time, though, to think about a response, and I think that was a good thing.
Yeah,
and for me anyway.
So what I was thinking about was, well, I happen to be reading a book right now by Wayne Dyer called Your Sacred Self, Making the Decision to Be Free. And there was a section in there about recreating your agreement with the universe. And kind of letting go of your past and a lot of different things. But one of them was about you are not your relationships. And to kind of set this up, there's a story that he talks that he, it's an adaptation of another story where he's talking about in the womb, there's say ego and spirit are in the womb. And spirit is all like, oh, I know someday we're going to see the light, you know, and there's a mother and we're going to have this great experience and blah, blah, blah. And the ego's like, I don't know what you're talking about, or this is our lot in life. You know, just hold on to your cord and stay over there in your corner and just, you know, this is it. This is the way it is. All this uncomfortable feeling is just the way it's going to be and get used to it. And that kind of sums it up that you, the idea is that you come from nowhere to now here, but then you return to nowhere. But yet the soul and the spirit is eternal. So that kind of puts into perspective this passage that is from the book, and it's titled, "You Are Not Your Relationships." And this is, it says, and this is from Your Sacred Self. "Certainly the love energy between you and all those in your immediate circle is very significant, but it is not who you are. You are an individual soul that is connected to the whole, but you are not the relationship to that whole. Your identification with your relationship provides you with great frustration, because every time there is a glitch in it, as there always will be, you find yourself feeling worthless. Remember that you are eternal, that which is changeless. You are in a great number of relationships, all of which have validity, but they come and go just like your life here. Form comes from nowhere and goes to no here and back then to nowhere. It is a relationship of coming and going, and thus it changes."
Wow. He's pretty much said it all.
Well, that's kind of out there, kind of, you know.
Yeah.
Nowhere. But I mean, some of that verbiage is kind of
difficult
to accept. But I think the reality is that, you know, there's going to be glitches in your relationships. And every time that happens, you're going to feel less than or.
Right.
I can certainly relate to that in many instances in past relationships where if the relationship wasn't going well, then I was not well.
Mm. You questioned yourself automatically instead of, yeah.
Well, yeah, everything was tied to how that relationship was going. Mm-hmm. Whether it was a good day or a bad day, all determined on.
A lot of pressure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Expectations and all those kinds of things.
I'd like to make a comment. Just, you know, I've heard his recording, oh gosh, over and over and over. I've played it. And there was a response that I finally came up with, and he talked about not knowing what to do. He said he knew what to do, but he didn't
know how to do it. Yeah.
And I would ask him this question. Do you not know how to do it, or do you not know how to accept that it's over? Because it seems when you know what you're supposed to do and you can't do it, you're paralyzed with, you know, the lack of acceptance of the situation, you know,
right,
wanting it to be different so badly that if I do nothing, maybe it'll change. And, you know, of course that's shock. I mean, that's shock. That's loss of sleep. All of those things contribute to the brain not functioning properly. So I'm really hoping that whoever you are out there, you've found, you know, the impetus to accept the situation, and you don't have to like it.
Right.
But
I can accept it, but I don't have to
accept it. I mean, once someone's made a decision, that's their decision. You're not ever going to change that decision.
Well, and as you often tell me, I don't want to be with someone that doesn't want to.
Not one day. Not one day do I want to spend.
And I feel bad because that was what, 2 weeks ago or when this was left, and it sounded like it was like an immediate thing. And,
right.
You know, he was asked to leave the premise and he didn't know what to, or the, is that right?
Premises. I know. And that's a weird word too.
Yeah. And wasn't quite sure what to do or knew what he needed to do.
Yeah.
But
we'd love to hear from you again. Yeah, if you just, you know, call in and, you know, leave a message or a phone number, we could call you back, or, you know, just let us know you're doing okay.
We've both
been thinking about you the past couple of weeks.
And I was stuck
in a
place like that for a long time.
I think we've both been there.
Which I refer to as, there was two things that I disliked more than anything, and that was the way things are and change.
Yeah.
You know, so I was stuck in that.
Yeah, it's an interesting situation when you know you're in the wrong relationship, but there's that paralyzing quotient that it's hard to articulate, but...
Well, yeah, and
it exists.
And we don't know the other side of the story either.
True.
As well.
Like I pointed out, it could either be a love relationship, a work relationship, a family relationship. We really don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it really doesn't matter. I mean, the pain was obvious in his voice. Yeah. And that's all that matters.
And so I hope he's doing well.
I do too.
And what I had written down a few notes, and one was seeking acceptance rather than love. And I think that is a lot of what I had done for so long.
Yeah.
That, you know, I wanted everyone to like me and I wanted you to accept me for who I was instead of seeking love for self first and foremost.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I heard someone in a support group one time, they said, you know, I settled for sex when what I really wanted was love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
interesting.
You know, it's that
yeah
physical part of it.
I think initially in a relationship, sex is like the first way of feeling out the other person.
Yeah, and we talked about
no
that.
No pun intended.
Yeah.
Whoops.
Yeah.
Yeah. A little pun there. But
well, and how do you make a move when you don't know what to do?
Yeah. I don't know. I think that when you don't know what to do, you do nothing.
Yeah, and that
is some sleep. That was my first response when I heard what he said is get some sleep because you don't think right when you haven't slept.
Sleep deprived. And
yeah, it just you can't finish a thought properly without sleep.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's real important. That and just go run on the treadmill for like a half hour and just scream and vent and cry or whatever it is that you're feeling. Just totally let it go and let it envelop you. Let it take you over rather than be afraid of it. Just ask it to be all that you are.
Yeah, and one of the things that I've learned is how to listen to my inner voice, conscience, the spirit, whatever you want to call it, by becoming, you know, emotionally connected with myself. I know that when I'm doing something, if I'm not sure, oftentimes I do nothing. I pray about it.
Yeah.
I definitely seek counsel
yeah.
from people that I trust and I know will tell me the truth or at least a different perspective than what I currently have because I'm so emotionally attached to it
right.
that,
yeah.
you know, I wrote a guest post recently yet to be named where it's going to be placed, but it was about in a previous relationship, I had been told to get lost in so many terms, I guess. We broke up and I left, which I did very well a lot. I think it was most of the time it was, well, I'm going to leave and then I'll really see how much she loves me. And, you know, if she doesn't, you know, she's going to come screaming, you know, want me to come back and, oh, I can't live without you and all that stuff. And which when I said, you know, I think you
did that happen.
With us?
Yeah.
No.
Ever?
No.
But you always thought that.
Well, you were like, well, fine. If you need to go, go. You know,
yeah, here's the apartment guide.
Yeah, she bought me an apartment guide. Yeah. And, but so I moved in, out.
Not in a mean way.
No.
I mean, if that's what you wanted, then that's what you needed to do.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, if you're entertaining it, it's best to explore it if that just keeps coming up in your mind.
Yeah.
I think that might have just been a defense mechanism or...
On your part?
On your part.
Oh.
I don't know, because when I gave you the apartment guide, you all of a sudden it didn't seem like such a good idea.
I was like, oh, really? I can do this? Well, I was hoping you'd say, please don't let me stay. I love you. I can't live without you.
Yeah, I thought all those things, but, you know, it has to be you that makes that decision, not
right.
because I'm begging you, because then I'd always wonder. Yeah, that's no good.
Well, so I left this relationship, or she threw me out, whatever it was, and
not me, by the way.
Yeah, I was emotionally unavailable to myself and the world, and so I'm living alone in this apartment, and I'm crying every night, and it's been months, and I'm missing some work, and I don't know what to do, and you know, one of the most horrible feelings that I can relate to this guy is when you really feel or know that you love someone. Or at least that's your perception
at
the time.
Sure.
And that they do not want you in their life. Yeah. That is like the most deepest,
very painful,
heart-wrenching.
Yeah.
You know, because we all want to just be loved and to put yourself out there and then not have it reciprocated is tough. So
but I guess he can be happy that he made himself vulnerable to a relationship. So now you know how to do it. Now you just need to find the right person to do it with.
Yeah, well,
you know,
and
it does get easier.
And be thankful that you can hurt.
Yeah, that's huge.
Yeah.
You have a lot going for you. And the fact that you would even call in is so amazing, really.
Yeah.
I mean, that shows strength of spirit and love for self, believe it or not. It did to me. I really saw a great strength and a willingness to reach out and, you know, ask for help. Wow. So exciting that you chose us to do that with. And sorry it's been so long, but
yeah. And in the same,
hopefully you'll listen to this.
Yeah, in the same book I'm reading, Your Sacred Self, it talks about how seemingly bad or tragic or unfavorable circumstances or events in your life that are perceived to be negative push you down or pull you back, you know, lower in a way that you need to learn a lesson, and then you'll bounce back. That negative energy bounces you back and you transcend that to a higher level. And that it's all just a series of lessons. And that if we keep getting these people put in our life and we're not passing the test, then we need to pay attention and learn from this, that everyone is here to teach us something. Yeah. And that we need to learn from it, or we're going to keep getting tested on it.
Right. And the reason for a breakup isn't always one-sided. I mean, it's two, there are two people in the relationship. So, you know, to think that you have all the responsibility for the ending of a relationship is kind of hard on yourself, because it takes two.
Well, I always thought it was me, because the other, I was convinced it was me.
I've heard enough about her that I believe that it was both of you.
Oh, I agree totally.
Yeah.
There was, you know, like you said, there's two parts to every story. But
You get really hard on yourself and think, oh gosh, God's trying to teach me a lesson. It might be God trying to teach her a lesson.
Well, and I didn't have a sense, or him. I didn't have a sense of myself enough to know what I needed and wanted out of life, let alone communicate that to a partner.
Right.
You know,
so how could that work?
And one of my biggest thing was, I would have these expectations of the relationship, but I would never let you in on it. And then you wouldn't fulfill these expectations.
And you'd be upset.
And then I'd have resentments.
And then she'd have no idea why.
Exactly. And it was just because I couldn't communicate those things. And so since I wasn't emotionally connected to know what I was feeling or how to express it, whenever you asked me a question or things got emotional, I would just put out something that I knew you wanted to hear to gloss over the interaction. So then it was a happy thing.
Right.
And then
you didn't have to come up with something.
Right. And well, I would just come up with something that they wanted to hear so that we could get past it, because it was uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And then I ended up in these situations that, man, I'm way in because I've said all these things that I knew you wanted to hear, and I'm not where I want to be, but you know,
wow.
I'm not sure
the house of cards comes tumbling down.
How to be somewhere else. I have no idea how to do that. So so here I am living by myself in this apartment, you know, and I'm crying all the time and missing some work. And finally I realized that, you know, I got to marry this girl, you know? So I go and I buy this ring and it's in the winter, and I show up at her doorstep, you know, with this ring she was going to be in shock and all of my romanticism and all that stuff. And I got like 63 roses or something like that, because we were apart for 63 days. And she was in awe at my audacity to show up like that. And it didn't work out. I mean, we ended up getting back together, but, you know, I had a lot to learn about life yet. And I self-destructed and, you know, after that. But I'm not sure, you know, the thing was that the fear of being alone was so all-consuming that it kept me from really going through what I needed to go through.
That you were willing to sacrifice your life for it. The fear of being alone.
Well, yeah. I'd often sit and think, is this as good as it gets? You know, and if so, and I think we've talked about this before, that men, I think, are a little bit, or at least that's my perception, that we're a little bit more inclined to settle for something. Maybe that's not true. Maybe women are too, but you know, I can be in a relationship and kind of just go through the motions indefinitely. Mm-hmm. And I think women need a lot more emotionally.
You're wanting me to corroborate that.
Well,
I think that not me. I mean, if I want or need something from someone and I'm not getting it from you, other than obviously a physical relationship, but you know, I've got a lot of friends and people that I love and know and trust and care about. So I don't expect you to be on point all the time.
Well,
you have your own life, and you know, I there's nothing that I would do or say to someone else that I wouldn't say to your face or,
right.
you know, but I think it's unfair to expect your partner in life to be there for every single thought you have or problem you have or experience you have. You know, there's something to be said for allowing your partner to, you know, be involved with the things that they're involved with and not expect them to just jump out of whatever they're doing or thinking or feeling.
Yeah.
And being involved with yours, you know, and that's a pretty cool place, you know, not to have that expectation of you. You know, I love it when you do respond, but if I don't get what I need from you, kind of like today, kind of a good segue.
Yeah.
I was feeling some sympathy for myself and wanting, you know, like I was wanting you to be more sympathetic and understanding, and I know you're really busy. And so rather than be upset about that, I just called other people that I knew would care.
Yeah.
You know. And it just wasn't even a big issue anymore because there's, you know, there's more people in my life than just you. And that's true in a breakup as well.
Well,
you really do find out who your friends and the people that truly care about you are when you are in crisis. So that's kind of a good thing to know, I think.
And I know that you don't take it personally.
No, I don't. Of course not. I mean, I know you got my back. I know you're... You know, my partner, I'm not like paranoid that something else would be going on.
Yeah.
And it has never occurred to me anyway, but that's like a whole nother story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Episode one.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen to episode one because I've been there. It's no fun to be there and I don't want to be there again.
Well, and I said that, you know, for me, and I didn't want to make a blanket statement for all men about settling or being able to be in a relationship where there's not that emotional connection, because I certainly am not that way now. You know, there was when we were first kind of dating, or we'd been together for a while, and I had kind of sugarcoated something in a way that I thought would, it was a holiday and we kind of had planned on spending it together. And I, in kind of a roundabout way, had made some other plans. And when I told you about it, I had some old baggage in the way that I expressed it to you. I used another motive or another way of explaining it to you that I knew was kind of important to you, that I was helping somebody else out in a way so that I thought you would think it was okay and not be angry. But I knew.
How'd that work out for you?
It didn't.
Yeah.
and we got home and you were kind of a little upset, and or I got home and you were a little upset. And I remember thinking that there was just 10 or 15 minutes there where we were disconnected.
Yeah.
Emotionally. And, you know, and that, and I didn't like that. And I told you that. I said, you know, these 10 or 15 minutes, I've missed you. I realized the way I handled that. Yeah. I might be embellishing on how well I made up for it.
That's exactly right, though.
But
it's exactly what you did.
And I wanted to talk about it because I didn't want that disconnect. Because I had been in a relationship where that disconnect was all there was.
Yeah.
And
it's a dangerous place.
It is.
And we've all felt that throughout our lives if we're honest with ourselves and have been in relationships. You know, we've all felt the disconnect, and it happens. I mean, you're going to ebb and flow in the relationship.
And it can be a slow fade sometimes.
Yeah, sure. You know? And all you know, if you become aware of it, then if you're thinking about it, then it's going to cloud everything you say and do, whether you realize it or not. I think it will.
If you think about what?
If you just keep it inside and not share it, it's going to fester.
Well, and you have to have a partner that's willing, that you feel like you can share something with.
Well, yeah.
And they're not going to.
And if they're not, then.
Jump down your throat or react in a way that's
not good. Yeah.
You know. But yeah. I think I knew that, you know, from early on that you.
Yeah. You can get angry and be upset about things, but it doesn't mean you're going to pull the plug. But that's what you had experienced in the past.
Yeah. So. Every single little fight was, that's it. Yeah. It's over. She doesn't love me.
Oh, brother.
This is going. This is
honest to God, I think in all the years we've been together, I've never thought it, and much less said it to you. I wanted you to leave. Ever. Yeah.
Uh-uh.
Except that one time.
At band camp?
Yeah. When you were like one foot out the door. So I don't know if you need to go, go. That's as close as I've gotten to that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But here's the apartment guide.
Yeah.
But then I did some real deep soul searching, and I had a therapist. And
yeah, the truth is, I couldn't find a place cheap enough.
But, yeah. No, I looked into the future, and it was like, I do not see my future without this woman in it. It just doesn't seem to fit.
Good.
But I knew that I could be okay.
Yeah, you would have been okay.
So
you would have been fine. You would have been mad at yourself, but you would have been fine.
Well, and that comes down to, I don't know, the concept of...
I'm just glad you were ready. You made yourself ready. You got in touch with that, so...
Well, I had to be okay with myself.
Right.
Because not being okay with myself and who I was and accepting myself meant I was always looking externally for that.
Yeah.
And a relationship would give that to me for a while.
If you feel like...
But eventually...
If any of you out there, I believe that anyone out there that feels that if their relationship ended tonight, that you would be destroyed, this would be a good podcast for you to listen to. Because...
You are not your relationships.
Exactly. You know, we enjoy relationships. We, invest emotions and time into our relationships. But they're not us.
Yeah, well, how about this?
That would be an unhealthy relationship that you're, so invested that you couldn't function without it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there are relationships like that, many, where the circles completely overlap. I had a diagram for me years ago that a love relationship should just intersect a tiny bit.
Was that the circle that Duncan drew?
Yeah, the two circles. Well, it was actually someone else drew it for me. Oh. But yeah, it's the same thing. You take two circles and you overlap them just about a fourth of an inch. And the middle part is how much you should be connected to your partner so that you can continue to be individuals within a relationship. And the relationship only makes up that small part that's intersected.
Ah, right.
Of your soul and heart. You're giving that much of yourself. But you got to maintain who you are and what you are, in the relationship. If you're expecting the other person to, make your decisions for you or make you feel better, it's I think, an unrealistic expectation.
Well, I think when you make an effort to seek, you'll find what you're looking for. And I know that it's such a cliche, but the reason why I say that is because early on in my journey of self-discovery and happiness and all this stuff, I was really working on myself. I was going through a process of spiritual growth and therapy and a lot of different things, really working on myself. And I knew that it was suggested or recommended that I not be in a relationship because that will take away what I'm working on myself. Because
process.
Then I
said,
right. And so I kind of was, I was digging this girl, and
that was Emily one, I think. Another one?
Yeah. I was kind of digging this girl and kind of hanging out with her a little bit. And I kind of wanted it to go a certain way, and I later found out that she didn't. But then what I realized was that, I don't have that sense of peace and serenity. I'm starting to, my thoughts, whatever you think about the most, that's what your energy goes to, or your higher power, or however you want to think about it. So I'm thinking about all this relationship a lot and whether or not she likes me and all this stuff. And I kind of realized that I'm getting away from really the work that I need to be doing. And then I sit down one night and I'm reading this nightlight it was a nighttime affirmation kind of thing. And the analogy was, it talks about two flowers and they're growing next to each other, but they both are rooted on their own, solid, completely separate from each other. But then as they grow, their flowers and their leaves and their branches kind of intertwine, and kind of help each other find the light. Or I don't know, I'm kind of making up crap now, but that was kind of the idea, that they're both rooted firmly in their own root system, but they can intertwine together. And for some reason that just...
I like that.
Yeah.
That's a neat analogy.
I think one of the next topics that I want to talk about is the interconnectedness of stuff. I don't know if that's a little out there, but I was talking to you the other day, I have to share this, about in this book, again, that I'm reading, mm-hmm. Your Sacred Self, mm-hmm. he talks about, and I've always wanted to believe this, and I do believe it, how we're all connected, and there's this energy, and that, you know, we all come from the same source and all this thing, and there's just us, all of us. There's no us or them. And Wayne Dyer is talking about this, that the iron and all these minerals and stuff like that, specifically the iron that's in my blood, could have or was or could have been part of the iron ore fields of Afghanistan hundreds of years ago. And or the iron that's in this tree, or, you know, and so I was like, for some reason, that little, just reading that really kind of, it kind of clicked with me. And so the other day, yesterday, I'm outside and every once in a while at work, I take a walk and I walk and I'm thinking and my mind's going on about work and stuff. And then I remembered that idea of the interconnectedness of everything mm-hmm. and the energy that surrounds us all. And I kind of looked up and I started looking at the trees. And I mean, I know this is going to really sound weird, but it was really like an out of body experience because I could see the trees. I heard everything and saw everything like at once. And I could hear the birds and the cars off in the distance. And I could smell the lilacs and all this stuff. And I remember I looked up at this tree and then this butterfly flew by and I was like, you know, I feel the wind because the tree feels the wind and the tree feels the wind because I feel the wind and it's all, you know, and it was like this, it was pretty crazy, but mm-hmm. it was like, and I was just felt like I was drunk, just walking around.
Drunk with nature.
Yeah. It was really,
that's neat.
And so now when I go
talk about in the moment.
Yeah. Now when I go run, you know, I don't take my earphones with me and I just listen to my breathing and the nature and all that stuff. And that we're all connected. And so when I see people, I love everyone, you know, mm-hmm. and, mm-hmm. you know, it's very, I don't know, kumbaya, but, you know, but it's,
yeah, it's neat.
You know, it's anyway, so I thought so.
Yeah.
So I guess we'll cue in the music now. So you're not in relationships, and it's okay to not do anything. But in that instance, he needed to leave the premise.
Yeah, it's time to move out and then start doing the work.
Yeah.
And keep listening, because we'll have all kinds of great ideas for a new life.
Yeah.
It's exciting. There's, you know, your glass is half full, believe it or not. You're going to find out. Good things are coming your way.
Well, I think the glass is always...
God only gives you what you can handle.
I don't see it half full or half empty. It's just always potential.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, it doesn't have to be one or the other. And I think, well, we have a trip coming up in a while, and hopefully we'll do a podcast. A
couple weeks. Yeah, we'll be here before we leave. We might even do one from our trip.
Well, we'll record it probably down there, hopefully, and see how that goes. And again, you can call our...
We'll probably have a guest speaker while we're... out of town.
Our call in our line is 775-234-8373. I don't know.
Oops.
Is that it?
I have no idea.
Well.
You always say it.
Yeah.
I've never called it.
775-234-8373.
There you go.
Or you can go to my website at jaredacres.com and there's a tab on the right-hand side. Click on that and you can record a message directly from your computer. And again, thank you so much for the two guys
both
that called
Sean
in.
And unknown guest for calling.
Yeah,
we really appreciate.
Well, he did leave his name, but I don't
trusting
really
us.
Want to, you know, I didn't want to really use his name. He did leave his name on there,
oh,
but
he
didn't leave any contact information, so I didn't want
to. Well, yeah,
you know,
so, but there's no need to.
He knows who he knows who he is.
Sure, you do.
So anyway, thank you so much. God bless you.
I hope things are okay with you.
And be honest, be loved,
and be happy.
And be happy.